You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Friday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to some top quality action from Ascot and York. But it's a busy day everywhere on Friday. We're also racing at Thirsk and Uttoxeter in the afternoon alongside Ascot. And in the evening, we've got Chepstow and Newmarket alongside that York card. A couple of Irish meetings as well to come on Friday. And you can hear it all live in the company of Gordon Brown, Andy Holding and Andrew Mount in the William Hill Racing Radio studio. But first things first, joining myself, Sam Norris, on today's edition of the podcast, the imperious Miss Chris Pimlott.
Hi, Pimmers. A very good afternoon to you, Sam. What stunning weather we've had here in the UK. Who needs to go abroad when it's 30 degrees in the shade?
Exactly.
And there is no shade.
Exactly, exactly. And it's finally turning the ground as well, so we can finally see fast ground, although the clerk of the course has maybe had the taps on at Ascot. I did the podcast the other day with Mick Norton. As you can imagine, he was not best pleased that the taps had been on at Ascot.
Oh, he wouldn't be, no. He's maybe not realised that since he stopped training that we have got irrigation systems at the race courses now, maybe. Who knows?
But it is an excellent opportunity for these fast ground horses, Pimmers, to finally get their surface.
Well, they haven't had it all year, have they?
Yeah.
Top and bottom of it. So, it's interesting. Again, I agree with a lot of these clerks of the courses. Make it safe, if nothing else. But you just got to be careful that you don't water and then all of a sudden, because again, if those weathermen got paid on results, they'd be like you and me, mate. They'd be skint. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's the thing you've just got to be careful of, that they don't water and then they get some heavy downpours that change it to what they've had for most of the summer on the easy side of good. But yeah, it's interesting stuff. Got to be aware of that as well when you're looking through your angles of what you want to go on ground, and if the, you know, something that you fancied has been just waiting for this bit quicker ground, then you know you might get an opportunity to A, get a bit of value because they haven't been performing, and B, you know, something that you've had on your tracker for a while gets the ground it wants, you know.
Yeah, so
it's all interesting stuff, and moving into proper summer ground.
Yes, about time too. Let's talk news then, Pimmers. Some news that's come out of yesterday. Obviously.
Well, the first bit of news is Mick's living.
Yeah,
that's great news.
Indeed, yeah. On to item number two.
Yeah, okay.
Postponed, ruled out of the King George Stakes at the weekend at Ascot. Obviously, won the race last year and was bidding to come back and defend his crown, but he's out of the race after an unsatisfactory scope, which led to a respiratory infection, which has ruled him out of the race. A disappointment for connections there and those of us who were looking forward to seeing the horse, but it's blown it wide open, really.
It has, really. I mean, again, he was going to be a very, very short price favourite, wasn't he? And he had every right to be a very short price favourite, but it just shows even these top flat horses can get little niggles along the way. To be fair, Roger Varian, very articulate, very good trainer as well, and there we all bitterly disappointed. But this is only a little hiccup. This is not a major problem, I shouldn't imagine. It just might mean he's got to have a course of antibiotics or something like that. Just like you having a bit of a sore throat,
yeah,
or a bit of flu or something, you know. So hopefully he shouldn't be on the easy list for too long, and we'll see him before the end of the season somewhere along the line. Hopefully, maybe at York.
Yes, indeed. Further targets down the line than four postponed. Does this further evidence the argument that you can't be scared of one horse? Because you look at the lineup now, and whilst albeit they're all decent horses in their own right, this doesn't look a rock solid Group One anymore, does it? And there are horses that could have come here that have swerved, postponed, and now the race looks there for the taking.
Well, I think there's always that old adage, isn't there? Never be frightened of one.
Yeah.
You know, you might be frightened of two or three,
yeah,
but not one. And he was the standout, wasn't he? And now he's gone, and you know, fair play to the connections of Dartmouth. I mean, it's obviously a little bit of 75 grand out the old coffers for Her Majesty, but I think that'll be a slight drop in the ocean for her.
She'll find that money.
And again, she, you know, they've got a massive prize to look forward to winning as well. So, you know, it's all good stuff. And as you say, rather than it being a one-horse race, it looks maybe not as appealing, but certainly a lot more competitive now.
Yeah, the Queen's horse, then Dartmouth. Now the 2-1 favourite for the King George VI and Queen Elizabeth. Island Real, 11-4. 7-2 for Wings of Desire. Erupt, 5-1. And it's 14s bar those. We've also had some of the first entrants through for the St. Ledger, Chris. And Aidan O'Brien, as we fully expect, mob-handed in the race. He's got 16 of the 42 entries. But no entry for Harzand, which perplexed me a little bit. Did the Ledger not look an obvious target for Dermot Wells' charge?
I think what you find in Farrah is that the Ledger isn't sexy anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not a race that they want to win with. Aidan O'Brien wins the St. Ledger with jumping sires.
Okay.
Yates, Brian Boru, that type of horse. It's not, no longer is it good, I don't think, if you win a Derby to go on and win a Ledger. Because I think it just shows that, well, actually, you've got speed at a mile and a half, but you're actually, if you're going to go a mile and six round Town Moor, you're actually maybe slow as well. So I don't think it's appealing to them now to win the Ledger with a class horse like Harzand.
Okay, and the Ark, the next likely target for him, we've seen obviously Golden Horn do the Derby and the Ark last season.
Yeah, and again, that's more than likely the ideal way to go, isn't it? Because one thing you're going to get is an awful lot more prestige winning the Ark than winning the St. Ledger.
Okay. Fair enough. Anything else on your mind then, Pimms, before we move on to Friday's action?
Not really. I mean, it's coming thick and fast now. We've got 5 or 6 meetings every day. The fields are just starting to get a little bit smaller, a little bit more easier, hopefully, to try and find the winners. But by the same token, you know, we are getting very much into that hardcore of the season where, you know, you can't really keep up because you're starting at 10-2 and finishing at 9 o'clock, so on, and you've got a race every 10 minutes. So you've got to be particularly on the ball if you're keeping up to speed.
Wouldn't be a problem for a man of your talents. Oh,
it wouldn't be if I just had a little bit more of a grasp on modern technology.
Right.
At this moment in time, with just my pen and my paper, I am struggling a wee bit.
Being swept up in this new world.
It's a world I don't want to be in. That's the thing, you know what I mean? I mean, who wants one of those iPods and all that and getting yourself an apparatus or something? No, thank you, no. Pen and paper like we used to have.
Nothing wrong with it?
No.
If it ain't broke?
Correct.
Ascot and York then on the agenda for Friday. We've got 3 races from Ascot and 1 from York and a couple of listed races along the way to get stuck into 2. But we begin with Ascot's 255. This is a 2-mile handicap. 12 runners going down for this Class 2. Best part of £19,000 on offer to the winner as well. Thought we'd start you off with a 2-mile handicap, Pimms. I know how much you enjoy these.
Yeah, you're very kind as well. And again, good prize money on offer. Prize money down to 6th place. 12 of them going to post. This race won last year by Seymour, who we saw run such a tremendous race in the Newcastle plate.
Northumberland plate
earlier on this year. Slightly disappointed in a slow run race at York. And he's one of the main contenders for the Ebor coming up at the Ebor Festival in the middle of August. So, you know, it's a good race to be trying to win tomorrow. One or two horses coming into the race in good form. Top weight Boyd, up £8 for his success last time out at Goodwood. But he was a very easy winner on that occasion. But again, handicapper take no chances with that £8 hike up. Then you've got Nikita. He was second in the Chester Cup earlier on the year. Hasn't really built on that good run since, but again, makes a long journey from Dumfriesshire. He certainly could be a player. Young lady going places, Josephine Gordon. She takes the mount on Noble Silk. She's been having a cracking time of it of late. And another one that, if you're looking at something that just is appropriate at the moment, Seaside Sizzler. We're having plenty of them, aren't we? And I wonder if some of the boys at William Hill were having Seaside Sizzlers at the darts earlier this week.
Quite possibly. It's a question for you to ask KP later on.
Yes, indeed. Was he there?
He was there.
Oh, my great giddy aunt. Heavens to Murgatroyd. I don't think Blackpool would be KP's sort of place. But anyway, we'll move on. So if you like that sort of thing, Seaside Sizzler could be interesting. Or even Seaside Sizzler. Easy for me to say. And then Sea of Heaven ran well enough in defeat last time out. And Sisyphus takes the long journey from Malton for Ollie Purs and Andrew Mullen. And again, he could bounce back to some sort of form, having run well in defeat last time out at Musselburgh. So, a trappy race to get proceedings underway. I'm going to take a chance on the Scottish runner, Nikita, to bounce back to form.
Nikita then for Ian Jardine, and Royston French gets the nod for Pimmers in the 2:55 at Ascot. We move on to their feature now. This is the 3:30, the Valiant Stakes, a listed event for the fillies. Nine runners set to stand their ground in this mile event. Over 30k on offer as well to the winner, Pimmers. What did you like?
I thought tricky little race as well. Nine of them going to post, so if you want to take an each-way angle, you can. I thought Irish Rookie was interesting. She ran behind Alice Springs in a Group 1 at Newmarket last time out. She was a 50-1 shot on that occasion, to be fair. She outrun those odds when finishing 4th of 7, beating 3¾ lengths. So brings that sort of form back to the table. She's certainly a player. Also, I thought Delve was interesting from Sir Michael Stout's yard. Obviously, she's got up again substantially, having won that 7 furlong maiden at Donny last time out. But she's a typical Sir Michael Stout improver. She certainly could be a player tomorrow afternoon. And then you've got Mix or Mingle, who ran in the 1,000 guineas, didn't run too badly. We haven't seen her since that race 82 days ago. Whether they freshened her up or whether she had a little bit of a knockback from that remains to be seen. But she's certainly a player on that performance. And also at the bottom, Red Box, again, another one who really has to up her game tomorrow afternoon. But she's going the right way, and from an interesting yard, that of Sir Mark Prescott. So it's an interesting fillies listed race, but the pin is going to fall on Mix and Mingle.
Mix and Mingle then gets the choice for Pimmers in the 3:30 at Ascot. We stay at Ascot then for one more. This is a handicap coming up at 4:05, a mile and a half handicap as well for seven runners. It's a Class 2 event. And again, a third race that's got a bit of a trappy feel to it, Pimmers.
Oh, very trappy feel, that is for sure. I mean, we've got Pinzolo from the Boys in Blue supporting the hood for the first time. And he's slightly underachieved, I thought, of late. But again, certainly could bounce back to some sort of form tomorrow afternoon with the hood being applied for the first time. Bermondsey's is certainly an interesting one. A winner at Sandown last time out. That was over a mile and two. Steps up two furlongs tomorrow. Very consistent sort of horse, this, from the Luca Kamani yard. Luca not firing on all cylinders as we've known him in the past, but again, he keeps tipping away. This one looks certainly a big player tomorrow. As to does the Northern Challenger, You're Kidding, one of two runners for Mark Johnson. He got his head in front last time out to You're Kidding. That's sure to have bolstered his confidence and gives him a squeak tomorrow. As to does Zand, who, again, ran slightly disappointing last time out when never got in a blow. If you can forgive him that run prior to that, he'd ran plenty well enough in defeat. So again, if you can bounce back to form from that disappointing run at Chester, Zan could be a player. The other Northern Challenger, Master Paver's, tough and consistent. Whether he's quite good enough off his mark of 80 tomorrow remains to be seen. So tricky, but I'm going to side with the slightly out of form Luca Kamani. But again, at least the Kamanis are going to get in the frame shortly. Francesca on ITV.
What do you make of the appointment?
Pleasing to the eye, that's for sure. But more importantly, she knows the job inside out. A very good choice from the ITV guys. And hopefully that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, hopefully so. And hopefully the yard can be boosted then by Bermondsey taking out this 4:05 at Ascot. We go to York then for the final race on today's podcast, the 7:30. This is another listed event for the fillies. This is the British Stallion Stud EBF Lyric Stakes. And we've got eight runners here, so a good each-way shape to the race. A mile and a quarter is the trip facing these fillies. What will it be on the Knavesmire?
Well, tomorrow night, who is it on the Knavesmire? You know.
Is there a band playing?
Is a band playing tomorrow.
I don't know who's
there. And on Saturday. I don't really know any music from the Friday group.
Right.
The Kaiser Chiefs.
Oh, the Kaiser Chiefs?
Yeah.
You must know I predict a riot.
Do you?
You not heard that one?
I predicted a riot.
Yeah?
I predict a riot. That one?
Yeah, that's the Kaiser Chiefs.
All right, okay. So
do you know that one, yeah?
I do know. And obviously, we all love the band on Saturday. They've been sort of like defunct for a while, and now they've been reinvented. I'll give you some lyrics. What do I do to make you love me? What do I do to make you care?
I don't know who sings it, though.
The Cause.
Ah, The Cause.
The Cause. Regathered, regrouped.
Well, there you go then. So it's a cracking couple of days of equine action and musical talents.
Brilliant action.
The 7:30 though, Finn.
Ah, yes, you digressed, didn't we?
We did.
We went on to another.
Had a little sing song.
We went on to another stage, so to speak, indeedy. Yeah, very competitive listed race for the girls. And again, good prize money on offer right the way down to sixth place. I thought the key to this race is Fireglow. She's certainly got the best official rating in the race of a mark of 108. Again, been highly tried last time out in a Group 1 at Shanty. And she didn't run too badly, to be fair. She was fifth of 10, but only beaten 2.25 lengths behind Warflag. That form for me is rock solid. Nothing like the competition tomorrow evening for her. I think she'll get the job done. I think that to the expense, more than likely, of Diploma, who slightly disappointed last time out. But again, had some reasonable form prior to that. And also, I thought Pandora, who was a winner at York last time out, a little bit defined on official ratings, but it was a fairly competitive handicap that she won there. And there could be a little bit more to come from her. So, interesting fillies listed race, as you can imagine. But I'm going to stick with what is on official ratings looking to be a good thing in the shape of Fireglow.
Fireglow, then, the choice for Pimmers in the 7:30 at York. Just give us a quick spin through, please, then. Your four selections for the action at Ascot and York on Friday.
Yeah, beginning at Ascot in their 2:55, a 2-mile handicap. Going to go for number two, Nikita. In the fillies listed race at 3:30, the selection is Mix and Mingle. 6:05 or 16:05, or in real terms, the 4:05. We're going to stick with Bermondsey for Luca Kamani and Ryan Moore. And before we get jumping, rocking and rolling to the Kaya Chiefs, hoping that Fireglow can land the listed stakes at 7:30.
Excellent stuff. There we are then. Thoughts of Chris Pimlott on the action at Ascot and York on Friday. Thank you for that, Pimmers. Always a pleasure. And enjoy the action. Enjoy Kaya Chiefs and enjoy the cause.
Can't wait.
And remember, you can tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio on Friday in the company of Gordon Brown, Andy Holding and Andrew Mount, who've got all the meetings covered for you from Ascot, Thirsk and Uttoxeter in the afternoon. Then it's York, Chepstow and Newmarket in the evening, alongside two Irish cards at Down Royal and Wexford. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.